know Brother Jerry talked about that at the beginning of service. And I want to thank the Lord for the good meeting and how that he spoke to our hearts. I was talking to one of the men in the church this week. The meeting didn't go how I thought it was going to go before the meeting. But I'm so thankful again. It's kind of been the theme of the morning. God knows what's best. And I think the Lord let us go a little bit deeper this week. And if you was here for any of the preaching, especially Wednesday night's message by Brother Mullins, if you wasn't here by chance, you need to get a copy of that and listen to that. That has absolutely just carried me to another level the rest of this week. And I don't believe I ever get over it, Brother A.L., that message we heard by Brother Buster. I believe as long as I live on this earth, I believe I remember that. And when you get a hold of the truths that he preached, it'll change your life. And every message was good. I'm not just singling that one out. But we're thankful for all the men that God sent by our way. Appreciate you being faithful. Some of you's here every night. Most of y'all was here every night this week. And we're so thankful for that. All right? Mark chapter 15. I do covet your prayers. I ain't going to say much about not feeling well, but I don't. And so if ever I've needed y'all's help preaching, I need it this morning. And if I get Moses in the ark and Noah in the wilderness and, amen, I get David in the whale's belly, y'all will know I'm on medication, okay? And I know my Bible better than that. God help us. All right, Mark 15, verse number 15. The Bible said, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. They clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with the reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. They bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. We'll leave off our reading there. Pray with us, ask the Lord to help us for the next few minutes, okay? Father, we're so thankful today to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for your goodness in our life and the blessings in our life. God, it's more than just a good chorus, Lord. We are a blessed people. And Father, every day that we live, we can testify that we're blessed. And Father, we owe that the grace of God, and we owe that all to your hand. Lord, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. Lord, we receive it at your hands. And so, Lord, we're grateful for that. God, we do want to ask you one more time that you'd help us, strengthen us in body and in mind and in the power of God this morning as we try to stand and preach these few thoughts that you've laid on our heart. Father, I pray that we not be bored with the message of Calvary today, but Lord, those that are saved, I pray would be excited about it all over again to hear the old story one more time. And then, Lord, those that are here this morning that are lost, I pray, at Lord Calvary's saying in the verses we've read before them this morning, the message today, Lord, we'd bring them to conviction that, God, they might be saved by the good grace of God. Lord, all that you do in helping us this morning, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested today in the subject of Calvary. I'll give you my thought here in a moment. And, as we consider Calvary, we're well acquainted with this. And can I just say on the onset of the message, we're thankful for Calvary. I never get tired of hearing the old story of Calvary. And we're grateful. Everything we are, we owe it to that place of Golgotha's Hill, that place called Calvary, and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as he came and shed his blood there. that you and I may be saved. I believe it's every blessing we ever receive from God is the fruit of, my friend, what Christ did there of that day at the cross and at this place it is called Calvary. This morning in the verses we've read, I'm interested in one verse, but let me work our way down to it this morning as I consider Calvary in these verses today. I'm reminded today of the purpose of Calvary in verse 15. The Bible said, "And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." We're reminded in the story of Calvary in that single verse that on the day of the crucifixion, when the Lord would lay down his life, and my friend, there was a man who was a criminal, a man who was in prison because of crimes that he had done. But my friend, Christ went to Calvary. And my friend, we see the purpose of the cross and of Calvary as my friend Barabbas is set free and Christ dies on the cross that was made for Barabbas. And can I say that in type and in picture, that is exactly it. The message we preach today about the purpose of the cross, that my friend, we should have hung on the cross and we should have died for our sin, and my friend, we should have been punished, and we should have been bled out. And the purpose of Calvary in relationship unto the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ today is that he came that you and I might be released, and he might die in the stead of sinners. And today, I don't know if that thrills you and helps you, but amen, and I say that's why I'm thankful for this place that is called Calvary today, the purpose of Calvary. Notice with me today again in verse number 15, the person of Calvary. The Bible said, "And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." And my friend, a lot of men, and we'll see it in a moment, had died at this very scene, that had died in similar ways that the Lord was going to die that day. My friend, nobody ever died like Jesus. Nobody, my friend, ever went to that place where men paid for their crimes like Christ did. And when you think about Calvary and you think about the cross today, we're reminded that it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. There were times when men sought to kill him and take his life, but my friend, it wasn't his time to die. He had to die at Calvary. Amen, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said in John 1, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And so it's all about the Lord today and what he was doing on your behalf. And man, that Christ went to Calvary, the innocent dying for the guilty, the just for the unjust, the Savior for the sinner. My friend, Calvary is all about that which Jesus Christ died. It wasn't Buddha that died for my sin. It wasn't Allah that died for my sin. It wasn't my mom and my daddy, and it sure wasn't the Pope. Amen. But, amen, the great mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, went to Calvary and died for you and I. And so we see the purpose and the person of Calvary today. We could talk a little bit this morning in verse 16 down through verse 20 about the path of Calvary. The Bible said in verse 16, "And the soldiers led him away." In the end of verse number 20, the Bible said, "And led him out to crucify him." There was a path that day, and some have referenced it and called it the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of mourning or the way of grief. Others have referenced it as the Via Crucia, which literally means the way of the cross. And can I say that adequately, the one you want to use adequately, defines the path to Calvary. It was marked in pain, my friend, with mourning and with grief. It was a path marked with sorrow. It was a path with meaning. It wasn't a useless death. The world looks in the way that Christ died and the path that he wants. They say, what a meaningless way for such a great man to die. Can I say he was being led? He was being led as a sheep to the slaughter. Amen. A lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth, and I'm glad that he was willing to walk that path. And that friend faced the mourning and the grief, and then go by way of the cross that you and that may be saved. And so we have the purpose and the person and the path and the cross, and that would lead us in into verses 15 down through the verses we've read today to discuss the pain of the cross as we consider the Calvary and the cross today and the death that Christ died. We reminded Brother Dad that it was filled with pain and it was filled with agony. It was filled with suffering. It was filled, my friend, with tortures beyond our human comprehension today, physically and emotionally and spiritually. That day the Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary faced pain beyond anything that we could ever imagine. We understand today that as they crucified him, they smote it, they scourged him, they slapped him, they spat upon him, they planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. My friend, they no doubt kicked dirt at him and slung rocks at him. They mocked him. They stripped him down naked. My friend, they did everything they could that day in every sense of bringing pain into his life than they could imagine. They did it on that day. My friend, his pain has brought us pleasure, and the pain of the cross, my friend, has brought about the pardon of conversion to the sinner today. I'm glad he was willing to suffer. I'm glad he was willing to endure the cross and despise the shame. And my friend, that he might in the end of this place called Calvary, my friend, bring about eternal redemption for you and I. This morning, I'm interested in this thought, amen, as we consider the purpose and the person and the path and the pain. We can preach entire messages just on those subjects this morning. I've been studying something over the last 10 days or so, and really you're going to have to bear with me because there's not a lot in the Word of God about it, but I want to make some application this morning. Look back with me in Mark 15 and in verse number 22. Mark 15 in verse number 22, and the Bible said, and they bring him unto the place, notice this, the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And the Bible said that as they crucified him that day, and all the events and all the said, and they led the Lord to a very specific place, on a very specific scene, and my friend, in a very definite place that the Lord had to die. And when you study the gospel accounts, here's what you'll find at the term place of a skull. That is in the Hebrew tongue, it is Golgotha. It's translated into our English term Calvary. That, my friend, this place of a skull, that term, a place of a skull, is used in Matthew's account. It's obviously used in Mark's account and John the Beloved. Used it in his account in John chapter number 19. And when you study Luke's account, you'll find that Luke said that they led him to the place that is called Calvary. Now the word Golgotha and the word Calvary, if you'll study it out, they come from the same word, the same Hebrew word called crania, which is where we get our English word cranium from, thus indicating that the Word of God is right in calling it the place of a skull. And when we consider this today, the place of a skull, a very definite place, can I point out before I even get into my message, that this place of a skull was made by the very hand of God for the purpose and the person and the path and the pain of Calvary. Everything about Calvary leads to, my friend, the place of a skull. And couldn't be crucified anywhere else. And couldn't be slain anywhere else. The Bible teaches you that. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians that in the fullness of time God sent forth His Son. And my friend, in that fullness of time, He was sent for one reason, and that was to die for the sins of mankind. And my friend, He couldn't be flung off a cliff. He couldn't be stoned to death. He couldn't, my friend, be run over by a team of mules and oxen. He had to be slain, and He had to be killed at that very place that God had ordained, the place of a skull. And it caught my attention some time ago, and recently I've been trying to study it out, Brother Jared, and find out why was the Lord slain in this place of a skull. Now, when we study the Word of God, I want to make this statement clear and plain, and you're going to say, preacher, if you're right about it, why are you even preaching on it? Hang with me. Amen. No one really knows why that it was called the place of a skull. They referenced it as Golgotha. They referenced it as Calvary. Amen. That place of cranium, the cranium, the skull part. And nobody really knows why, but in the Word of God, Holy Ghost said, I want you to pin it down. And this is a very specific place. Notice what Mark said about it in Mark 15:22 again. And they bring Him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, watch it, the place of a skull. It's a very definite place. It's not just some place that randomly by chance fell and the Lord was crucified there. And so why this morning was Christ slain at the place of a skull? I'm preaching today simply on that thought, the place of a skull. Notice with me this morning, number one, I think that it has something to do, or could have something to do, in history and definitely spiritually in the Word of God, to give you in that the fact that it's a place of the punishment for sin, a place for the punishment of sin. It's believed that this place of Golgotha, this place of Calvary, was often used by the Romans to bring punishment on those who had broken the law and committed a crime, and my friend, had violated the law of the emperor, and that they would carry them out there, Brother Mark, and they would slay them, they would crucify them, and they would put them to death there at the place of a skull. And beyond just the hillside that we believe and Christ was slain at, if you look in the formation, you got to have a little imagination to see it, but the hillside literally looks like two eye sockets, and a skull, my friend, sculpted out of that hillside. How you consider that in this place of torture and place of punishment, when the Romans would get done crucifying their victims and dealing with that crown that had violated the law, they would take their skulls and place them about there as a reminder. And my friend, nobody breaks the law and gets by with it. And I say that's where the Lord died. That's where the Lord gave His life. That's where Christ shed His blood. In that place, my friend, as a reminder, an very generation in this hour, 2,000 years later, and men don't get by with their sin, and men must pay for their sin. And my friend, when we sin, the wages of sin is death, and it always has been, and it always will be. I'm telling you today, we're living in a generation where a sin is not looked down on as an ugly thing and a dark thing and a wicked thing. We act like, well, you know, we got little white sins, and then we got real black sins, and then there's some gray area. Can I say today, there ain't no gray area Sin is sin, and God hates sin, and God has condemned sin, and God has said, I didn't sin, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. And so Christ is going to Calvary, and he's going to die in the place of a skull, the place, my friend, for the punishment of sin. Who say, but did Christ deserve to die? Oh no, that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse number 21, or he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God, as he walked that hill that day. Amen. There's bones of men laying around and represent that men has fallen, and men has been punished for crimes that they've committed. Thank God Christ took on himself your sin and my sin, and the sin that was representing death in every skull that laid around a place of a skull, and when Jerry shed his blood that day, and men may have a way to have the punishment of sin dealt with. And I say the place of a skull reminds you and reminds me that, and we are sinners and we're born into sin, and that, my friend, without Christ and without his cross having gone to Calvary, amen, we'd be lost throughout all eternity, and we'd be damned in a place called hell. Thanks be unto God, he did go to Golgotha, he did go to Calvary, and he died in the place of the punishment for sin. Number two, I wish y'all would help me now. Amen. I feel like I'm in a barrel, Brother A.L. Not only is in the place, I believe, that represents the place of the punishment for sin, but notice with me, I believe it in my study, and I believe most definitely in application, whether what I'm getting ready to give you is true or not, the Bible doesn't say. But if you're taking notes, write this down. It's the place. We want to look at number two, the place of the promise to Satan. The place of the promise to Satan. Now, you remember back in Genesis 3, the Bible said that Satan came in the form of what? He came in the form of a serpent. And the Bible said the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field. And Satan comes and he begins to move in on Eve, and he begins to draw her away from God and God's word. And he begins to cast doubt, and he begins, my friend, to sow deception into her heart, and he's leading her into this temptation and partaking of the fruit that God said not to eat. And my friend, she takes it, and the Bible said what? And she turned and gave it to Adam. And my friend, the woman was deceived, but Adam was in the transgression and willingly took the fruit and ate it. Amen. And my friend, plunged the whole human race into sin. And the Bible said God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and then Brother A.L., he discovered that man had hid himself and sewed fig leaves together and was hiding from the very presence of God. And God said, Adam, why are you hiding? And Adam said, because we were naked. We knew that we were naked and we were ashamed. And God there, my friend, identifies the root source of sin in the human race was Adam's disobedience to God. Now, he asked Adam, and Adam said, well, it's the woman that you gave me, said, is the one that's got me in my mess. And then God looks at Eve, the woman, and said, why have you done this thing? And she said, well, it's the serpent that made me do this thing. And they, what are they doing? They're passing the buck. Amen. Just like we do in our generation. Amen. They're passing the buck. Adam said, ain't my fault. It's Eve's fault. Eve said, it ain't my fault. It's old serpent's fault. The devil made me do it. You ever hear somebody say that? The devil made me do this. And the devil made me do that. The devil can't make you do nothing. Amen. All he can do is sow seeds of temptation. And my friend, you'll be drawn away of your own lust and enticed, and you'll commit sin. And the Lord looks at the serpent, but Gerald, and he said, now listen, I'm going to give you a punishment and a judgment. And your punishment and judgment is that the seed of the woman, listen, you're going to bruise his heel, but when he gets done, he's going to bruise your head. Is that right? Come on now, I'm on some Benadryl and God only knows what else I've taken to try to feel better. Am I right? Amen. Now, there is a Jewish tradition that says this, that when God, and I don't know that it's true, the Bible doesn't say so, I'm not telling you it's true, but just consider it with me. There's a Jewish tradition that says, Brother Dave, that when God pronounced out that to Satan, that literally he took Satan to the place of a skull and showed him the place that he would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, the Messiah, the coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and reminded him it's going to be this place, a place of a skull, where he's going to bruise your head. You say, preacher, is that so? Is that Jewish tradition right or not? I don't know, Brother A.L., if he did that, and I do know this, at Calvary the head of Satan was bruised there, and Calvary, my friend, he took care of the devil there. Amen. I don't know about you, but I hate the devil today. Amen. I'm so sick of him busting up homes there and destroying churches there. And my friend, bringing men into deception there. Amen. I'm so sick in the turmoil and the homes that he busts up there. Amen. The young lambs that he destroys. I'm sick of the temptations that he offers mankind. Can I remind you and that today? And Christ 2,000 years ago, amen, walked the path of the place of a skull and laid down his life. Amen, that place he had promised to Satan that he was going to defeat him once and for all. I say Calvary. You say, preacher, the devil's on my trail and the devil is bringing trouble into my life. Amen, amen. All you got to do, amen, is cling to the cross. Said, amen, friend, get to the place where, amen, that place have a skull and remind him, amen, his days are shortened this morning. Amen, he ain't got forever to destroy us. Said, he don't have long to do his work because Calvary in the place of a skull has been accomplished. That promise has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. The place of the punishment for sin. The place of the promise to Satan. Number three, and I'm done. Somebody say amen. It's the place of the pardon of salvation. Now hang with me. There's another Jewish tradition that says, I don't know that it's true. I don't know that it ain't true. The Bible doesn't say. If it is true, God evidently, amen, left it out for some reason. Brother Tim, there's a Jewish tradition that said, you remember there in Genesis in chapter number 6, that God comes down, Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God said to Noah, I'm going to destroy this man that I've made. They're so steeped in sin. I'm going to wipe them out, but no, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to save your wife, and I'm going to save your three sons and their wives. And Noah began to do as God said and build an ark. Now, there's a Jewish tradition, Brother Jerry, that said, and when Noah entered that ark, and he carried the bones of Adam with him into that ark. And so they go through the flood, and the Lord remembers Noah and delivers Noah from the flood, and they escape the ark. Now, there's the Jewish tradition that said the angel of the Lord met with Shem and Melchizedek one day and sent them back to the ark to collect the bones of Adam. And that, my friend, he led them to bury the bones of Adam in the place of a skull. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this. Are you with me this morning? That day that Christ died, if that is true, that day Christ walked Golgotha's hill and was carried up there in his cross, amen, nailed to a cross and lowered into the ground. And that day when the blood of Christ flowed down that cross, it ran down the cross and my friend into the cracks and into the crevices of that place of a skull, amen, and listen, whether literally or spiritually and figuratively, that blood reached down and touched the very bones of Adam. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning?
Amen. I'm telling you, 2,000 years ago, Brother Chris, amen, the darling Son of God went to Calvary and shed His blood. Amen. And His blood has affected and touched our bones and the representative of the sinful race. Amen. And pardon is available. Amen. Salvation has been made available to you and me on the merits of what Christ did at the place of a skull. I'm saved today not because I'm anything. I'm not saved today because I quit this and I quit that. I'm not saved today because I started this or started that or turned a new leaf or got baptized. But Gerald, I'm not saved today because of anything I've ever done. I'm saved today. It's 2,000 years ago, Christ said, I'll put her all down on the place of a skull. That old lead better, his bones won't be buried up in this place with old Adam. But the blood of Christ ran freely that day, and it runs free this morning. And the blood of Christ is still changing lives. And the blood of Christ still cleanses from sin. And the blood of Christ still is redeeming those of the first Adam's race. I'm saved today because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ought to be lost this morning. Ought to be in hell. You say, preacher, I'm a pretty good old boy. Amen. I'm glad we need more pretty good old boys in our city this morning. Being a good old boy ain't going to save you. And being a good old girl ain't going to save you. Amen. Thank God for the day by faith when I knelt down in the place of a skull and the blood of Christ affected my life and touched all my sinfulness and washed away all my sin. That's why John got so excited over in Revelation 1 when he said unto him, at what? At that washed us in his own blood. Calvary's no accident. Whether the traditions are true or not, I do know this. But Jerry, were it not for a place, the place of a skull, the place called Calvary, we'd be lost with no hope forever and forever. If you're here and you've never been saved today, or you think you've been saved but your life has never been changed, you say, but preacher, you said you didn't change anything to get saved. That's exactly right, and it's true. But thank God, the day I called on the Lord, my life was changed. The blood of Christ didn't leave me in the same old mess that I was in. I'm not here to make any enemies today. But if you claim to be saved and you still drink your beer and you still, my friend, smoke your dope and you still live in immorality and you still live in sin, that is no evidence that you've ever been to Calvary and had your life changed by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ at the place of His skull changes lives. We're not perfect today, but thank God we ain't what we used to be. You say, but you ain't what you ought to be. I know that, but I'm not what I used to be. And what you see today, I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen. When we get to the other side, hallelujah. Amen. We'll shout her out. Amen. And we'll sing a new song of the worthy Lamb that shed His blood. Amen. We'll say, Thou art worthy. Oh, Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. The Adamic race has been redeemed at the place of a skull. That'll be our song throughout all eternity. The Lamb of God died that we could be saved. Now, let me give an invitation this way. Come on, Sister Candy. If you're not saved, won't you come today by faith, kneel on this altar, and by faith let the Holy Ghost take you to Calvary. That's the only place men are saved. That's the only place that lives are changed. You say, boy, I'm going to join this church and I'll be on my way to heaven. We can't take you. And this church is filled with some good people, but ain't near good enough to take you to heaven. Can I say you'll come by the way of the cross or you won't come at all? This morning we invite you to come and to be saved. by the grace of God. I know, listen, I'm not myself preaching today. I'm doing the best I can do. Amen. But the message is still true. And the gospel is still clear in play. You must come by the way of the cross. Come and put your faith in what He did 2,000 years ago that you could be saved. The word Golgotha, the word Calvary, come from the Hebrew word cranium. I already give you this. It's where we get our English word cranium. It's where that idea of a skull. You know what a skull is? A skull protects your brain. Is that right? The brain is where you think. The brain is where you meditate. The brain is where thoughts originate. Amen, in your mind. Can I give an invitation to those of us that are saved today that know something about the place of a skull? How much in the forefront of your thoughts, in your skull, in the space that resides, your brain resides in, how are your thoughts today about that place of Calvary? I've been to the place of a skull, not on an airplane. Amen. I didn't get there by boat, but I got there by faith and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost by faith and repenting of my sin has let me go to that place. Now that I'm saved and know something about the place of a skull, I ought to keep that place constantly in my cranium. Am I making sense today? Calvary ought to be, and I'm not talking about the name on the church sign, I'm talking about the place where Christ gave His life. Hallelujah. But Gerald, when's the last time we got down on our knees and didn't ask God for anything? All we did was thank Him for what He did at the place of a skull. Boy, I wish I had some strength to let loose and preach a little while. Amen. I'm telling you, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What was His mind? Bible said He set His face as a flint toward one place, the place of a skull. That was the whole purpose of His life, the whole reason for which He came. And can I say it's the whole reason for which we were saved? And we ought to have the same mind Christ had about the place of a skull in those of us that have been saved. The place of a skull. Would you stand with me? Father, I love You this morning, and I do want to thank You for Calvary. Well, thank You, Lord, this morning that You saved my life and You made a difference and a change. Lord, everything I am, everything I have, I owe it to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for going and shedding Your blood. Thank You, Lord, for dealing with our enemy, the devil, at the place of a skull. Thank You, Lord, that You went to that place of punishment for sin that we deserve to die in. You made Your own Son to be our sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. Lord, we are forgiven, and our lives are not headed to hell today because of what Christ did that day. Thank You, Lord, we've been redeemed, we've been pardoned, we've been brought back to God through what Christ did at the place of a skull. I pray, Father, that You'd help us this morning. Help those of us that are saved to, Lord, ever keep Calvary in our thoughts. Then, Lord, those that are here today that have never been saved, Lord, I want to ask You this morning that You deal with their heart. God, may they see their self as a sinner, deserving of death, deserving of hell. Lord, may the Holy Spirit draw them to this place of Calvary. Father, all that You do for us, we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, there's several that have come already this morning. While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, I want to ask you this morning, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Is there one anywhere in the building this morning, one or two or a handful, that say, Brother Jeff, please pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't know Christ is my Savior. My life has never been changed. My life has never been affected by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner man. I'm a sinner woman. Listen, I'm not going to come drag you down this aisle, but would you just uplift your hand? Say, preacher, please pray for me. Thank you, ma'am. There'll be another who'd say, preacher, please pray for me. Please pray for me. My life has never been saved. Is there one anywhere? One anywhere. God bless you, young man. Would there be another? Would there be another? Pastor Jeff, I just want to uplift my hand and ask you to pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. How many testify today, right now, honest before God, honest with yourself? Preacher, I know I'm born again. I've been saved. Calvary's made the difference in my life. Hold your hand up just a moment. I know I'm saved. My life's different. My life's been made different. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Thank you for being honest. Now listen, if you raised your hand or that you is lost or you couldn't raise your hand that you're saved, won't you step out where you are there? Come on down. Let us take the Bible. We'll show you how you can be saved. That old Philippian jailer said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. The message today, the Word of God, is repentance and faith. Repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus, saves men and women and boys and girls from their sin. If you raised your hand or you wanted to raise your hand that you needed to be saved, you can step out today while these are still a-praying. Would you mind the Lord this morning? Would you mind the Lord? That's it. Come on, Kate. Get your Bible there. Would you mind the Lord? Look, friend, the Lord's dealing with folk. You mind the Lord now. Step out this morning. Step out this morning. You can come. You can be saved today. Don't care if it's the first time you've heard it or if you've heard it 1,001 times this morning. The gospel's still true. There ain't but one way to be born again. Would you mind the Lord today? Cross where I first saw the light. It's what a candy's playing. The burden of my heart rolled away. Hallelujah. It was there by faith I received my sight. I like how it ends. Now I'm happy all the day. Hey, man. Look this way while she plays. Can I tell you, before I got saved, I was so miserable. I was miserable when I come to church. I was miserable, Brother Gerald, when I try to lay down and go to sleep at night. The few months, maybe even a year, year and a half before I got saved, God let me get so miserable in my sin. Is it working on me? And you know what I try to do right now? I try to do better. I try to sing a little better in the choir, and I still felt bad. I tried to get more involved in the service and in work at the church, and I still felt, Brother Jack, I still felt miserable. I try to pray more, and I still miserable. I'd get my Bible out and all I could feel was condemnation setting in. But oh, happy day, September the 14th, 1996, Rolled out of my bed. Mama wasn't around and Daddy wasn't around. My brothers and my sister wasn't around. There's a whole lot of Holy Ghost. There's a whole lot of conviction. There's a whole lot of the grace of God. I rolled out and called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul. You say, what happened? Now I'm happy all the day. Saved because I put my faith in the Lord. I got it off me. I got it off who my mom and daddy was and the preachers I had heard. And got it put, as Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Put it in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for my sin. Saved today because of the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. You can know it today. You can know it today. You can know it today. You can receive your sight. You say, I just don't understand how it all works. I didn't understand how it all worked that morning. I cried out on God, but by faith I believe what the gospel said. Now today I look back on it, Brother Jerry, it makes sense to me that that's the only way a man can be saved. Because had it depended on old Ledbetter, I wasn't near good enough, and you ain't either. Amen, you ain't near good enough. She's going to finish this verse. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed one more time. Would you just pray, child of God? Pray. There's at least two others here this morning. Raise your hand. There's probably others that didn't raise their hand. They're saved. You know that you need to be saved. Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind the Lord this morning? You obey Him as He's calling.